a tree grow. Got love that feels like a cheat code. Keeping this light and easy.
DJ.
What?
Oh, I thought it was Superman.
It's Superman!
Oh, look, it's writing something. You're listening to WONY Oneonta 90.9 FM, Red Dragon Radio. Don't forget to keep it locked. Oh, it could be someone else.
Sure, Jan.
I swear it could have been like Batman or Wonder Woman. Oh, well.
Surrender that gigantic pie.
Meet Ed, movie buff, animal lover, safe driver.
5 years of driving an ambulance teaches you a thing or two. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. When I see a car trying to rush past a turning bus, I get concerned. You see, when big vehicles turn right, they have to swing wide to make the turn. And that's a lesson you don't want to learn the hard way. When trucks and buses turn, let's you and I wait.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Yeah, rock music was boring. And now internet friends are here to save the day. Because the only people that are doing it good is Neck Deep and us.
Yeah.
My name is Faith, and I'm so excited to be talking with you guys tonight. So before we talk about the new EP coming out so soon, which is really, really exciting. I want to give listeners kind of an understanding of the band's backstory. So this is Internet Friends. We're here. We're talking. So from my understanding, Rossi, you started writing songs in like 2020, that kind of, you know, the COVID era there. DM'd Michael to join the group. You know, flash forward 6-7 months, you guys are working together, writing demos. And then suddenly you're recording with like the iconic Matt Squire and Courtney Ballard, who...
I know, right?
Like have worked with so many great bands like Sum 41 and like Panic at the Disco, and that's so cool.
Now us.
and now you, like, you're joining that, like, that great roster there. And so could you kind of take me through the emotions of going through those months of demo recordings to finally take your hard work and start working with these amazing people?
Sure. You want me to start the story at the beginning?
Yes, of course. Give us that backstory. Okay.
Ross is a pro at this now.
Here we go, guys. Seatbelts on. So I've been working in back up. Right. So when I'm an early teenager, I started off in bands. So I did start writing songs when I was a kid. You know, for I think I wrote my first song when I was like 11 or something. It was terrible. And then when I got to about 15 years old, I was in a band. But it wasn't really working. Dance music started to get really big, and I switched and I pursued a career on the business side of music, and I got really good at it. So I was working at I had a record label, and I was working managing other artists and helping them build those careers. And I did that for about 14 years. And then when COVID happened, I think a lot of people will relate to this, it made me stop, and it made me just think about, like, am I happy? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm working so hard and I'm doing really well, but I'm getting older, am I really doing what I want to do? And how I got to that point was I was living in America for 10 years, and I live in Australia now, but I was born in the UK, and to live and work in America I have to have a working visa. So every 3 years, I had to go back to the UK to renew my visa. And it just so happens that the time I had to go back to the UK and renew my working visa was the day before everything shut down. So I flew back to the UK with a small suitcase. I landed in London, and the plan was go to the US embassy, hand in my passport, do the whole thing, and then maybe go and see some of the family for like 7 or 8 days. And then pick my passport up, fly back to my home in America, and we're good to go. And that didn't happen. So the day after I got there, all the airlines shut down, all the embassies shut down, and I've got a suitcase with me with about 3 pairs of socks, 4 pairs of underwear, and 2 t-shirts. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to do now? So I ended up moving back into not my childhood bedroom, because one of my parents had moved houses by then, but it was the bedroom that I lived in as a teenager. And, you know, I was just like everyone else. I was like, oh, okay, I've just got to stick this out for a month. It'll all blow over. And then a month goes by and it's like, oh no. And then 2 months go by and I'm like, oh no, what's happening? I think I might need to order some clothes on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that happened. And then I found my childhood guitar, the first guitar I got given by a family friend when I was about 9 years old or something. I found the guitar underneath the stairs, like the Harry Potter cupboard, you know. I found it there, and it had old rusty strings on it, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll just write a song, you know. I haven't done that in 16 years. I'll just do it to pass the time. And I wrote a song, and I was like, oh, that wasted my afternoon. I went to bed, and I woke up the next day, and I was like, oh, there's nothing to do today again. I might as well do it again. And at the end of that day, I was like, that's pretty good. And then I did it again and again and again. And after about 2 weeks, I had like a whole album, and I was like, I'm actually pretty good at this. Like, something's happening. I don't know. So, like, I'm getting this inspiration from somewhere. And from that moment, I started to reassess everything. And that was when I got to the point where I was like, am I happy doing what I'm doing? Like, do I really want to do this? And the answer was not anymore. I feel like I achieved everything I wanted to achieve on the business side. Mm-hmm. And I just got the fire back for songwriting. It's all I wanted to do. And I just wanted to be in a band again. And that's what started that pursuit. So I carried on writing every single day. And then I started thinking about putting a band together, and I knew the type of front person that I wanted. And I was willing to be patient and wait for that, because I think that's the two things I believe are the most important, like foundationally the most important thing for a successful band or an artist is, one, are the songs good enough? Yes. And two, is the front person good enough?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. That's why I was, and 14 years on the business side of music taught me that, you know, which is why I was willing to wait. And I continued writing songs. I got up to about 60 or 70 songs, which I thought were great. And then I start scrolling TikTok and kind of Instagram Reels as well, but mainly TikTok every day, just trying to, you know, typing in hashtags like singer, pop punk singer, pop singer. And then after about, I don't know what it was, so like 12, 13 months, maybe 18 months or something like that, Michael's face popped up. And by this point, the airlines had opened and stuff, and I managed to get over to Australia to see my now wife before I went back to America first. And I remember, like, when Michael popped up, I like grabbed my wife's arm and I was like, I found him. This is the guy. And she's like, found who? And I'm like, it's Michael. I found Michael. She's like, who the hell is Michael? and the rest is kind of history. Like, I hit. This is the crazy part, which we've only really started to realize is crazy through doing some of these podcasts and talking about it, because we've never really thought about it before how crazy it was. But I hit Michael up. I found his Instagram, so I DM'd him on Instagram. And long story short, with this bit, I basically said, "This is my position. I've got these songs. Do you want to hear them? This is what I want to do." And he's like, "Yeah, let's hear him." And Michael liked them, which was cool. And then we got on Zoom together, and I think we clicked straight away. It was great. Mm-hmm. And then a week later, I flew to Austin and stayed with him and his girlfriend and the cats, which was a massive risk.
Yeah, it's true.
It was just as much of a risk for Michael as it was for me. I don't know what Erica, Michael's girlfriend, must have thought, but when Michael went to Erica being like, "Yeah, so there's this random guy for the internet that's going to come stay with us for a week," she must have been like, "What?"
Nah, she was pretty much like, "Oh, you should do that." Like,
really?
Yeah, well, I vetted you first.
Oh. Did like a background check. Yeah, fair enough.
I had a sense that I was like, this is 100% legit. Ross seems like a cool dude. Like, yeah, we need to do this for sure.
That's
this
good.
Is the third time something like this has happened to me.
Oh,
so I've been in other bands where like I've met people online and we've met up and we've done this and it's worked out for me. And this is the craziest part of it, because he was halfway around the world. That's the craziest part. Him having to like come and like trust me and like me trust him. And I picked him up from the airport and like all that stuff. So still crazy.
I was quite nervous, but I think the thing that gained me a lot of confidence, like once I got to Michael's place, was the cats kind of warmed up to me. And they were both like, "Oh, the cats don't like anyone." And I was like, "Yes. I mean, like, that means I'm not a weirdo."
Very temperamental. They're very, very picky. Mm-hmm.
I think most animals are, man. I think animals, like, especially dogs as well, like, they just have a sixth sense. They know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, one of my dogs absolutely hates men besides my father. So whenever, like, I bring my boyfriend over, she's met him dozens of times, but she barks and, like, doesn't like him and then warms up to him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because we... So I get to Michael's place, and we've only got a week, so there isn't really much time for, you know, small talk.
Yeah.
So Michael picks me up from the airport, and then we get back to his, and it's like, I say hi to his girlfriend, I meet the cats, and then it's like, right, let's get going. So we set up the laptop, and, you know, both of us were thrust ourselves into a situation where we just had to be completely vulnerable with each other, and we didn't really know each other. And I'm there on the laptop. If anyone listening wants to see a little bit more, you can go on a YouTube and check out our vlog series. There's footage of us doing this on the first day, where Michael's just kind of stood behind me with a microphone, and I'm teaching him parts of the songs, and I'm recording, and Michael's going for it, and then I'm there being like, you know, let's do it it again, or like when Michael has a great take, we're both like, whoa, that sounded amazing. Yeah. And by the end of it, we recorded 6 demos, and they sounded okay. But the objective was to come out of that week with, we didn't need something that sounded amazing. We just needed demos that sounded good enough to show a producer that could do them properly. Do you know what I mean? And that would take us seriously. So after that week, I flew back to, by this point, I was, I cut out a bit of the story because it's boring, but by this point I'd moved from America to Australia, so which is where I live now, because after COVID I was just like, you know, I don't want to live in America anymore. You know, my wife is in Australia, like, you know, I'm getting older, that's where I need to be. Mm-hmm. So the next thing to do was to find a producer. So we spent the next few months trying to do that. We emailed like two, I can't remember who emailed, but we emailed like 2 or 3 people who we thought were within reach and we thought were affordable for us, and none of them got back to us. And so that was really frustrating. And so I kind of went into this little spiral where I was like, what's wrong? Because like, I know these songs are good. I know how good Michael is. Something isn't fitting. This is kind of the, I like as much as I hate hippie culture, like I believe in some hippie stuff, and the only way I've ever known how to do things is just to knock on every single door until one opens, right? Mm-hmm. And one night I got really frustrated and I found Matt Squire's email on the internet. I think it might have been on Reddit or something like that, but I was like, Matt Squire seemed so out of reach that I didn't even tell Michael that I sent him the demos. And I think Michael saw it go out of our joint inbox, like our joint Gmail, and Michael texted me being like, ha, Matt Squire, lol. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That night I'm going to sleep, my wife is already asleep, and for some reason I didn't put my phone on Do Not Disturb, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I remember just as I was going to sleep, I just heard my phone go bzz, 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 and I was like, oh, who is that? I shouldn't check it. But then I checked it.
Yeah.
And it was Matt. And the email, and I couldn't believe it. The email just said, love the songs, let's work, when can we jump on a Zoom? And I flicked the light on and I grabbed my wife again and I was like, Matt, email back. And she's like, who's Matt? You gotta stop telling me about, who are these people? You got to explain these things. And then 3 months later, or maybe 4 months later, something like that, me and Michael both flew to Washington, D.C. And we stayed in a crappy little Airbnb next to Matt's studio. And we walked to the studio every day. And it was fun. And that was what started everything. And we're really grateful for that. We had a great time with Matt. And after Matt, we flew to LA to work with Courtney Ballard on some acoustic and piano versions and a couple covers, which will be coming out soon. And now we're here. We took a long time like preparing the project. It was probably, I mean, for me, I started this project in April of 2020, but then Michael joined the project like just over 18 months before. Oh no, it must have, no, my, like me and Michael were together probably 18 months before we released a song, you know? Yeah. So there was so much preparation, there was so much build up mm-hmm. into really doing this correctly. Because I think another thing we both realized is that, you know, it's like me and Michael are getting older, and like at least how I feel about this is like I want to do this 100% correctly, because there's a good chance this is going to be my last chance to ever do anything like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is why there was so much preparation into it. And we released our first song just under 4 months ago. And now like everything is just rolling and snowballing, and to, you know, to have almost 16,000 subscribers on YouTube already is like, yeah. You know what I mean? I'm just so grateful for it. And I'm really trying to live in the moment at the moment and just take it all in, because, you know, hopefully Internet Friends gets big, because I need it to, because I really don't want to work in the supermarket, but I might have to.
Yeah.
But like it's this exciting part where everything is beginning and everything is growing. We're never going to have that again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and that preparation, I think, definitely like played a part, because so many people just jump into it and they don't understand. You having that music industry, that business background is super, super important. This is kind of like an off topic thing, but I just see artists, like especially now, like artists who don't have that music business perspective. And I've seen with like Wallows and like Charlie XCX, like this is different, but booking like arenas and not being able to sell them because they don't understand what the industry is like. Just because you have a TikTok hit doesn't mean people are going to want to see you and stuff like that. So you mentioning that is super important and, you know, a promising thing, like having that, you know.
And Michael will tell you as well, like Michael isn't coming into this as like fresh either. Like Michael used to be in Micah Relocate. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
He knows exactly what to do as well. He knows how these things have gone down. So in a way, I guess we've both been in projects enough in the past to now know what not to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And that really, really important part. So
yeah, and we're patient. That's another thing too. We're patient because of that.
I feel like you're really patient. I'm more patient because of Michael, but if it wasn't for Michael, I'm not patient. I want everything now. Michael keeps me grounded.
We keep each other grounded, I think, because you're the guy with the plan. Like you have, like I said, you were patient enough to wait to like make sure everything was in order to like get stuff out. You know what I mean? So like that's patient in its own right.
All right.
I understand what you mean though.
Yeah, that's super important, just having that background. And you know, it's again like you talking about, you know, stay in the moment is important, because your career is like, here you are, it's starting to like go off, you know. And you have people like, you know, I look at your social media, you have so many people hyping you guys up, and then I, you know, I've been listening to you and I see why. You know, it's like you have something different there because you've been sitting on it, you know what I mean? Especially in like, I guess, the emo pop punk sphere, you do have a lot of oversaturation. But what's different from what I've noticed you guys is, you know, you can kind of pinpoint what a typical pop punk song sounds like, but when you're listening to your music, it's like, oh, it's going this way, then you have this breakdown, it's like, oh, they're adding this thing, and it's not like staying at that one level, you know what I mean? So I think that's why people really like it. And like, so how does that feel when just released music and now people are like starting to come out and say, whoa, this is really good stuff? Like, how does that feel?
It's very validating. It feels really good. It feels good, yeah, like especially after, cause, I mean, we did share the demos on like TikTok and built like a following before we really had anything out, which was cool. But we like started doing that so long before the songs came out that, like, you know, by the time the new versions came out, it was like a second life for everybody. So it was really validating and rewarding to finally get to share those like new versions with everybody. And like just seeing it feels like it's been like very well received. And like, yeah, it's just like we've put a lot of hard work in, and it really feels like it's paying off. So
yeah,
I'm excited for sure. So stoked.
I think we're doing the right thing. I think it's just a case of so Courtney Ballard, the other producer we work with, said something to us which really stuck with me, and it's such a simple thing, and he was just like, you gotta stay in the trench. And that means we're doing everything correctly and we're growing. So as long as we keep consistent, then I believe Internet Friends is going to pop. But it's a question of, does it pop next week? Does it pop in 6 months? Or does it pop in 3 years? It doesn't matter as long as we stay in the trench. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And, exactly. I think that's really great advice for any artist out there. Do you know what I mean? Like as long as your project, like the product you're giving people, is good enough and it's growing, stay in the trench, man. Stay in the trench. It'll happen.
Yeah. So if you're listening, stay in the trench, and you will
stay in the trench.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually really good advice. I never really thought about that, because I'm more of the business side of it and just like an appreciator of music, not one that makes it myself. But just from being on social media and, you know, liking music for my whole life, you know, I can see, you know, I've seen either my small bands go from like, whoa, they're huge now, or they kind of die off. I'm like, oh, I'm sad. And I think that's just because you just have to keep in that zone, you know?
Yeah.
I think you're really cut. It also comes down to how bad you want it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, look, I will say this as well. You've also got to be good. Like, you got to have some good, you got to have some people around you, like, that know what they're talking about, that are going to be honest enough with you to tell you whether like your songs are good enough or not.
Yeah.
Because for some people, it's just like they're not good. Do you know what I mean? And we know who they are.
Yeah, exactly. No, I get what you're putting down. Yeah.
But it really comes down to how bad you want it. Do you know what I mean? And the patience thing that Michael was talking about is so important, because some people aren't patient enough. And like you say, a band will be around for 6 months or a year, and then they'll split up or they'll slowly try to drop, they'll like drop off. And yeah. then it becomes about who's the last person standing. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can guarantee you we're going to be the last person standing.
I hope so. Especially in this scene. There's too many people that come in and then drop off because they don't real. I guess they just don't realize like the industry, you know? And I realize it. It's hard to stay that, have that patience, but like, it's good that you guys are having that drive and that energy. And, you know, especially I've seen that on social media. You have to be very consistent on social media and post. And like, that's the new thing now is Instagram mm-hmm. Reels and TikTok. And like, you guys are doing it right where you're posting on there and you're like making little reels with your music and things like that. And, you know, you're being creative with it. But when you're making those videos and trying to stay creative, especially probably on like a tight budget constraint, you have like the video for like Achilles heel with like the Skittles, you know, that's something like cool and something I haven't seen before. How do you like brainstorm those ideas, especially probably with that tight budget constraint, and how do you keep that creativity?
Yeah, I mean, the landscape has definitely changed. You know, even 10 years ago, like, you could get away with just doing music. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now it's both. You have like you have to do music and you have to do content. And me and Michael talk about this a lot. Like, and again, I think this is great advice for any other band out there, is that you have to treat a band like a sports team. Like, the person that's scoring the goals or making the touchdowns is just important as the goalkeeper. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's got to have their position. Everyone's got to be okay to stay in their position because it's about the team. And Michael's incredible at making content and I'm incredible at writing songs. And that's just, you know, how it works. And when it comes to the music videos, I think it's... For me, it's just trying to think of like fun things that like we really don't take ourselves seriously at all. So it's like if I think of something funny or we think of something funny, we do it. And if it makes us laugh, it's probably going to make our friends laugh. And that's all that matters. Like, for me, when I come up with music video ideas, I'm not thinking, you know, what are our fans going to love? I'm thinking, what's going to make my friends laugh? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But if it doesn't, you just make another one. Do you know what I mean? Like, people put so much pressure on like a song or an idea, and they put, do you know what I mean? They're just like, oh, and they do this big build up in their head for this one song or this one music video, and then it doesn't work. And it's like, if you keep doing that over and over again, you're just gonna burn yourself out. Like, if you think of something funny, do it. And that's mm-hmm. that's what one thing I wanted to do with Internet Friends as well, was that like, there's like, rock music just hasn't been fun in a long time. It hasn't been colorful. Do you know what I mean? Everything, yeah. Like, this, like, Neck Deep are incredible. I love Neck Deep. I'm actually wearing their t-shirt right now. Like, I love that band because they're fun. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's something that's been missing in rock. And I really hope that that comes across in our music and our videos, because that's something we really want to bring to the table, is make rock fun again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think you're giving that with your aesthetic too. Even like your name, you know, you're not just saying, oh, Internet Friends. Let's capitalize it. Let's lowercase it. You know, when I look at the name, I'm like, it's giving like MySpace, like 2000. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that was intentional, but that's what it's coming across. Also, I made the connection now when you're talking about, oh, like, you know, I met Michael on the internet and then now here we are. Oh, Internet Friends. You know, like, now it's clicking in my head, because I was going to ask you, like, where did that name come from? But it's like making sense now that that's where it definitely did come from. And I think exactly. You're keeping that, like, you know, you dig down your socials a little bit, you have little graphics, you know, the old Internet Explorer type 90s, 2000s, you know, type of graphics. There, it's like, you are keeping it fun and you are, it's important. And you're so right about rock. Like, a lot of it just seems very, okay, here's this, where, you know, this is it, here's the album, here's the song, whatever, and that's it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's boring to me.
I know. Yeah. It is.
Here's something to add to, for, because you were kind of going, you know, talking about like overthinking stuff a little bit, like for bands. It's always the stuff that you spend the least amount of time on and the least amount of money on that just pops off every single time. Like, I've had videos, like TikToks that I've, he's just laughing. I've made TikToks where
I'm laughing because of the so obvious video.
Yeah, exactly. So I've had TikToks where I've been like, I've spent like hours trying to come up with an idea and like doing stuff and like just really like putting effort and editing and all this stuff into it, and they flop. And then I've had some where I've been like, oh, I have this idea. Like, I just came up with some random idea, and like 5 seconds later, I'm filming it. It's a 7-second video. And then all of a sudden that goes viral. Like, And that happens so much. It's like, it's sickening. It's like, you want the ones that you spent time on to do. You're like, this is such a dumb idea. I'm just going to record it real quick. And then you throw it up and it's like, yeah, it's happened to us a couple of times where.
The algorithm is stupid, you know, with everything, it's but crazy. Especially that. The algorithm like is actually so stupid.
It's crazy. Yeah. And our best performing music video was the cheapest to make. We just sat in front of a green screen and like took the lyrics and were as literal as possible as we could be with them. And that video outperformed all the other ones by like a long shot. So
yeah,
don't overthink it. Just throw it up. And if it doesn't work, go on to the next idea. It's all good.
Totally
agree.
That's so important. And I do want to talk about the EP coming out very soon, official release. It's a Secret, which again, I love the capital and like lowercase. So when you're evolving more as your band, you're probably having like an idea of kind of where you want to go, especially with that aesthetic of the lowercase, you know, capital. Do you want to keep that aesthetic as you keep going?
I think probably maybe. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll probably keep going with it until we can't be bothered anymore.
Yeah. I'm tired of typing this out like this.
Yeah, right.
My phone like corrects the word friends to the friends the way we do.
Yeah, me too.
Because I type it so much. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Now, I think it would be cool if you kept it like that. And I love how like you keep the title like that, but then the actual, like, you know, track list and stuff is normal. I like that. Because it might be a little bit on the eyes if you're trying to read Achilles heel and you're like, wait, hold on. What is that?
Yeah, that's
what is this?
We'll definitely keep it for the band's name, because I think whenever you see that, like in a paragraph or you're reading a blog and it's mentioning a bunch of people and you see that, it makes us stand out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And
the way that it's spelt, like, it helps with search algorithms. Do you know what I mean? If we spelt friends normally, we wouldn't show up at the top of the Google search. Do you know what I mean? Or top of the YouTube.
SEO. I know what you're talking about. The good old SEO, especially as a journalist. It's
think you always about.
Yeah, exactly. People can think about that. So it's cool that you're not just like, oh, here, I'm in a band for willy-nilly. Like, I've actually planned this, you know, I know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's so important. And I guess, like, going into the music, too, you've talked about on your TikTok and, you know, Instagram Reels, like, having influences. You talked about, like, Neck Deep, and then you talked about the MGK album, having some influence there. Like I've said before, you don't just keep your music in one direction. Like, it goes all different directions, you know what I mean, within one track, which I think is really cool. Are there any other albums or artists that you were listening to that you might not have mentioned that maybe spurred some creativity or even inspired you in a way
to write the songs?
Yeah, to write the songs, or even just any artists that you might have listened to their sound and said, oh, I really like that sound, like, let me incorporate it in my own way.
Well, I will say this, like, bands like Neck Deep and MGK, I did, like, they didn't directly influence my songwriting on the It just so happened that Tickets to My Downfall album and Neck Deep's All Distortions Are Intentional, which was produced by Matt Squire, which is crazy, came out around the same time. And they were the first two, like, pop punk albums that I'd heard in years where I was like, these songs are great. And I wasn't influenced by the songwriting in the sense that, like, oh, I'm trying to write a song like Neck Deep. I'm just trying to write pop songs. But those two albums excited me enough to carry on writing songs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we're talking about my influences for writing songs, I think Michael was probably similar to me, but like when I was a kid, like I was the dude with the Limp Bizkit t-shirt and the baggy jeans and the wallet chain. Do you know what I mean? And I was listening to Sum 41 and Newfound Glory and Linkin Park, but I was also listening to Britney Spears, Spice Girls, The Backstreet Boys, NSYNC. Like, I'm a huge pop guy. I love cheesy pop bands. I love girl bands. I love boy bands. And I have no shame about it.
That's awesome.
The people and the person that wrote a lot of their music and his team is a guy called Max Martin, who you might have heard of.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So we all know who Max Martin is. He is my number one inspiration for writing songs. So when I'm writing an Internet Friend song, I'm trying to write a Max Martin song, but instead of using synths and pianos, I'm using an electric guitar. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes I do it right and sometimes I don't. But Max Martin is my number one inspiration. I just listen to pop music. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just like pop punk so much because I was such a big fan of bands like Newfound Glory and Sum 41 when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's I like that. I also really like you talking about, you know, not just exclusively just listening to that kind of music, going it out. And yeah, like Max Martin, I think, produced the new Ariana Grande album. I don't know if you listened to her, but like that album was incredible.
I have to because of my wife.
I just listened to the what's the song called? The Boy Is Mine?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? With Penn Badgley in the music video. And that song is a bop. I didn't know she did it with Max, but I listened to the podcast that they did together because Penn has a podcast. And she was talking about like Max Martin the whole time. So now it makes sense. But I'm excited to dive into the rest of that album now.
Yeah.
That album is so good. I've been an Ariana Grande stan for a very long time, but that album like is definitely one of her best. I think it's because she spent like so many years not loving the music industry and then came back and was like, wait, actually, I like making music now. Let me make something I like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can hear.
So cool.
I love when you can hear people liking music and what they do, like with your music. Like you can hear that you guys enjoy doing it. You know what I mean? You're not doing it just because. Like obviously the goal is we all want to make money from the industry and we all want to like be successful with that. But you're making it because you really enjoy it, you know, and you can hear that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that you just said that, Faith, because another thing that I stand by, and it's probably going to be a great piece of advice for other bands and artists out there as well, is that if you're doing this for money, or you're doing this for fame, or any, if you're doing this for any other reason than to make the best art that you can possibly make, you shouldn't be doing it. And there is a certain level that you can reach with mediocre songs and mediocre art, you know, because maybe you're good looking, or maybe you're charismatic, or maybe you're funny online. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I fully believe there's no longevity in that. The greatest artists and the greatest bands that have been around for 20, 30, whatever, 40 years are the ones where the songs are great. And that has to be the number one thing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, look at Bring Me the Horizon. Do you know, like, they've been around for so long because they're so good. The songs are so good. Do you know what I mean? Same, I'm not a fan of Coldplay, but I recognize that their songs are amazing too. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the other thing I love about what you said as well is that I've realized that if you're pursuing something creative, it's a really hard thing to put into words, but if you put the effort into doing it for making something amazing in the creative sense, then quite often you'll profit more in the end anyway, because your product is better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just might have to stay in the trench a little bit longer. That's
exactly.
All.
Exactly. That's where it all comes back to, is you just have to. You have to stay down there to get up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I've noticed, is like, you can just tell when people enjoy making it and when people don't. Like, I'm sure when you were scrolling through TikTok looking for your vocalist, you know, you went through some that were just in it just because they wanted to the money, or they were being mediocre and things like that. I know sometimes when I get like an artist on my For You page, this sounds like, I don't know.
You can feel it. You can definitely feel like when something's not authentic, it makes such a huge difference. Like,
yeah.
when you're in it and you're like, you're feeling it and your fans can sense that, like, I feel like the sky is the limit.
Absolutely. Know? Couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think because of TikTok and how disposable music unfortunately can be these days, we see more of those people than ever. You know what I mean? Like, think about, I off the top of my head, I can't actually name any. Maybe you can, Michael, but there's so many artists that will, you know, they'll pop on TikTok because of one song, but then they're forgotten about in a month. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just how it is.
It is how it is. That's the state of the industry nowadays. You know, it's, you're in and you're out, you know. And I feel like with just speaking to you guys about your attitude about everything, it's like, oh, you're in it and you're going to stay in it and you're going to do everything that it takes with it.
Because we love it.
Yeah, exactly. True. That's where it all comes down to, is that love for music, that love for what you're making, and all the songs, just listening to them. They're songs that you could have on repeat and love day after day. You know what I mean? Because you can tell that you guys are really into it. Mm-hmm. And that the lyricism is there. Like, all of it is there, you know? I love what you guys are doing. And I guess I want to ask you, Michael, if there's any artists that, or even if you wanted to shout out, like, an album that you really enjoy that, like, kind of gets you into that singing groove.
Yeah, I'm really into R&B. I love pop music, but I've always gone back to like Justin Bieber or like Kehlani. Those are artists that I've like listened to albums all the way through, just on repeat. I'm not a big album guy, funny enough. Ross actually knows this. I'm like, for a guy that's like in music, I like don't listen to any music at all, ever. So the artists that I do listen to are really special to me, and they do inspire me. So yeah, I would say Kehlani, Justin Bieber. I love Fall Out Boy. Fall Out Boy was a huge part of like why I'm in this scene today, I guess.
Same.
And like Hawthorne Heights.
But you know what's interesting about that is that Fall Out Boy is an interesting one because they're a pop punk band with an R&B singer.
Yes. I think that's part of why I was also really into Panic too. And Panic almost had like a similar-ish vibe for a little bit. So maybe it's the vocals. Huh?
Yeah. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Tori Kelly.
Love Tori Kelly too. Tori Kelly's another huge one. Ross called it for sure.
I didn't actually know I knew the name, but I didn't know much about Tori Kelly, and Michael got me hooked on her. And now I listen to her all the time as well.
She's so good. She's very underrated. I've not seen for a while, and you know, I even loved her when she like did like singing vines and stuff like that. Like that's how I first discovered her. I was like, oh wow, she's good. I love all these names you're putting out there, because again, you're not just sticking like, you with the boy bands and like the girl bands and things like that, and then you saying like, oh, I love these women singers that are like, really good. Like, it's really cool. And also the Fall Out Boy, that like touched my heart. I'm a huge Fall Out Boy fan. I have been for a very long time. They are so good.
Yeah, Fall Out Boy is great. I saw him live actually with MGK a couple years ago. It was pretty dope.
Oh my god, I saw them at that tour too. That was really good. Yeah.
It was great. It was, and Nothing Nowhere, I think, was on it too. Yeah. Very, very cool tour. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I also recently just saw them with Hot Mulligan. Like Hot Mulligan was opening, and like, you know.
Oh, that's dope. They're all over my FYP all the time. People love Hot Mulligan.
Yeah.
It's dope. It makes it like I just see them having like this big moment on the internet, and it's cool. I don't get sick of it. I'm like, this is like, and I didn't even know the band before TikTok, funny enough. I just knew the name.
Yeah.
But now I'm hearing it all the time. I'm like, oh, dope. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. He's got a cool voice, that guy.
Yeah, it's really intense, and like, it's, you feel it. You really feel it when you hear it.
I don't know how he doesn't get like a sore throat after like every concert. You know, I know there's a specific way to like place your vocal
cords.
Yeah, probably. I'm a big fan of album covers and like EP covers, and I like that the EP cover for this. I also really love the Paul McCartney shirt. I'm a big Beatles fan, so yeah. I saw that and I was like, I have a very similar shirt to that, so I was like, that's really cool.
That's dope.
So how did you come up with the cover, and were there any kind of alternate ideas floating around for that?
Yeah, we booked a shoot with this guy Nathan James, and we just took a ton of photos like in front of that orange, like I think we had a good feeling about like the stuff from the orange backdrop, but there's some really cool photos from there. But that one, like with the title of the EP, It's a Secret, to me, I don't know how you feel about this, Ross, but it like really worked. Like I just thought it was like so cool. It's like he's covering his ears and screaming, and yeah, I don't know. I think that those were just like really cohesive with one another.
Yeah,
totally. I think for me, it's that like I had two. I didn't really care what the cover was going to be or our covers going forward. But for me, there was just going to be two rules. One, it has to be really colorful. And two, it has to be our faces. Because I think that's something that isn't done these days. And I miss it. I think that was something that was so great about like album covers in the 2000s and the 90s. Was that it was the artist on the cover. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Nowadays, like, who's got the coolest art, like actual art? And it's like, yeah, some of it's great, but it all looks the same, man. Like,
I agree with you on that. Like, and that's, I always like to ask people about album cover art or EP cover art, because I know there's always like it's not just done randomly, you know, there's always like an idea behind it. And like, I totally agree with you. I love when like they make it like simplistic. Like, yeah, some of it is like really cool. Like, I don't know.
Right.
So going back to the EP, the one that keeps coming to me like every time I keep listening to it is definitely like Warning Signs. I really like it, enjoy that one. What was your favorite one to kind of record?
Record
or, you know, just one that you also gravitate towards the most.
I go back to the moment when we were, this is the bedroom that we actually did all the demos in. And I was watching some of the footage back the other day. I was watching clips from us when we were doing Achilles Heel. And there's like moments of that, I guess, that of like being here doing the demos where I was like singing stuff that I had no idea I could like sing. And just being like I had moments where I was like almost emotional, being like, oh my God, I just did that. And I didn't know I had that like in me, I guess. It was like, just, there were some really cool moments with that song. And I kind of felt like I was going back and listening to that one the most when I was like listening to the demos. So I would say that one for me, like performing that and like being in the studio with that song, just, I don't know, it just feels really cool.
Yeah,
Achilles Heel was cool. I think for me, recording wise, was Forever, for two reasons. Because one, Forever is my favorite track on the EP, and two, because it was the quickest one for me to record, so I could go sit on the sofa and watch Michael.
True. Forever is my favorite song too. I just love how all of them turned out, but that one specifically, going from demo to final, was like, whoa.
That was really cool. Yeah. I think just from a songwriting perspective, I think Forever is the best song on there, in my opinion. But vocal performance wise, I would agree with Michael. I think Michael's vocal performance on Achilles Heel is 11 out of 10, especially the bridge. Woo!
Yeah.
Like you feel it. Yeah, it's cool.
100%. I love that. I love the different answers there, different sides of the spectrum there. And I, you know, you guys are separated right now across the waters. Would you ever want to get together and start playing some shows?
Yeah, I think this is something that we definitely see in the future. Right now, it's kind of not like in the cards. I think right now we're really just focused on building everything and continuing to pump out content and videos and songs for as long as we possibly can. We've got the music to last us for a while, which is awesome. I think if the right thing came along, great. That's amazing. It'd be really cool. But it's just not something that we're really planning for like the near future. But when that day does come, I'm very excited to take these like songs on the road. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
100%, man. I second what Michael said. It's like, here's the way I look at about I think about this, right? Is 15 years ago, like, let's go back to the MySpace days. If you wanted to build a fan base, then you kind of had to get in a van and travel the country. And some nights you'd be playing for 20 people. Some nights you'd be playing for 100 people. And you go out into the crowd, you stand at the merch table, and you get everyone's email addresses. And that's how you build your community, right?
Yeah.
Really had to put the work in with the touring, and that's how you did it. With social media and things like Discord, like today, I don't believe you have to do that anymore. I think you can build your community online, and there is no way in hell you are going to catch me driving across America in a beaten up van, not showering for 3 days. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
at this stage in my life. Definitely. So we're just going to keep building our community until we get to a point where when we tour, we know it's going to be a great first tour, and maybe we can have a nice tour bus with a bed, because that would be nice for my back.
Yeah.
and then we're willing to be patient with that. I think that's the coolest way to do it, is just build the hype, build the anticipation. But as Michael said, all focus right now is just building our community and our Discord group and getting to know the people that love our music. You know, we're very active in our Discord group. We reply to every single DM that we get, and it's just we're just two people that love other people. We love chatting to people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the fun part for us. And we know, again, coming back to like the very first question that you asked us, like, we just got to stick it out and just keep building up for as long as, and just be patient with it. Do you know what I mean? Exactly. We're having fun right now, and I don't want to change that. So, and like Michael said, if the right thing came along, we would do it tomorrow, but it's probably not going to come along. Do you know what I mean? We'll just stick it out. We'll see what happens.
I applaud that answer. I think that's a great, you know, like, it definitely one day would love to happen, but I think you're so right about keeping that community, because, you know, you don't want to be in a van that could break down going, you know, to sweaty clubs around America, you know, for...
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Michael's got some stories about those days.
Oh, all the time.
I'm sure, I'm not even, like, you know, old, you know, I'm just joining my 20s, but I couldn't even imagine doing that, like sleeping in like a van and like, yeah, no, thank you. Yeah. Okay with that, you know.
It takes a special kind of person. I'll say that. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Not everybody can handle that for sure. And you find out within a matter of days, I think, if you can like sustain that.
Yeah. And even if we had to do that, I'm sure me and Michael would be fine. But quite often, like spending that much time in close proximity with those people, you know, in a van, it can break a band as well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. I definitely think that could happen. We've had such a great conversation tonight. This has been like, we've learned a lot about you as people and how you do care about what you're doing. You're not just like, oh, here's like a pop punk act that's come up. No, like you actually care and you're thought driven.
I think the reason why people are gravitating towards internet friends and we're growing so quickly at the moment is because there is hardly any competition.
Yeah.
Sorry. Like, that's the truth. Like, and I would love to see more bands doing well. And I think they will. Do you know what I mean? But right now, there's only a handful that are doing it really, really well when it comes to like pop punk. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree with you 100% on that. You are so right. I guess to kind of wrap it up, is there anything you guys want to add about internet friends that I might have missed? I'm sure there's might be something. We've had a great conversation, so maybe nothing, but is there anything else or even a promotion? Drop your at.
I think you can find us on all of our socials at internet friends, spell FRENDZ. Send us a message. We reply to every message. We love chatting to people. Join the Discord. Our community there is really fun. Shout out the friend zone on Discord. We've also got a like little promotion on at the moment where you can get a CD of our first EP for pay what you want. So you can, if you don't have any money and you just want to get it for free, you can just pay the postage on it, which is cool. But if you want to support us, because being in a band is very, very expensive, then please buy a t-shirt or a hoodie as well. And I might be able to eat this month. But aside from that, I think, yeah, just drop us a DM, come say hi. And if you don't like the music, then don't.
Yes, exactly. Make your own opinion, guys, but heard from here, it's good. Like, give it a chance. You know?
Thank you, Faith.
Like, it's not just a pop punk band that came up. They're actually good, guys.
Sweet. I'm glad you think so.
I do. Yeah. I've been listening a lot and I'm like, wait, like actually really good. Cause you know, sometimes you'll just get like people in your inbox are trying to push, like, you know, a company trying to push whatever. And you'll listen, you're like, oh, but then I like listened like, and I was like, wait a second. These people have like talent, you know, to put it boldly.
Well, we appreciate it. We really appreciate it. And it's been a lot of fun having this talk, and thanks for having us on your show.
Yeah, thank you. We've had a great talk. We've talked about a bunch of things and always awesome. Great conversation. So thank you for coming on and providing some great answers and some great insight.
You are listening to WONY 90.9 FM. Only on to New York.
Thank you for taking the time to speak with me this evening. I think it's, is it evening where you are?
Yeah, it should be the same time as you. I'm in Buffalo, so 6:11 p.m.
Yeah, great. Eastern Standard Time. So first off, congrats on the new release, Gangster Love. I think this has to be my favorite release of you guys. I've just been listening to it all the time on repeat. So how long was this record kind of thought of and in fruition?
First of all, thank you. And second of all, it's kind of came to fruition over the course of 3 years since our second album, Sup, came out. We were writing and demoing kind of intermittently over the course of 3 years. Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
And what I don't know if there's like a particular song that you guys started working on first or demoing, but is there a particular one that stands out to you as being kind of the first you started working on?
You know what? Hopefully Pitchfork doesn't hear this was actually demoed even prior to Sup, now that you mentioned it. It could have been on that album, but it, like so many other things in life, it got lost in the sauce. And then we randomly heard it when we were in the studio or like right before. It's kind of, the moment is escaping me, but it was at the last minute and we were like, oh, this actually sounds fresh to our ears, and it was fun, so we just ended up recording it.
I love how you guys don't put yourself into just one box. You guys just recently tweeted about how, you know, the fans know that you aren't just making one kind of music. You know, you're not like your stereotypical pop punk band. You enjoy like a little bit of everything. And I've talked with people that feel like the industry is trying to push people into one box, trying to say, well, you have to be this, that, and the other thing. Do you have an opinion on that standard in the industry?
Well, we've never really been pressured to do one thing by like any industry folks. It's just like, I do think it's easier to maybe market an artist sometimes if you do one thing like very specifically, and like, cause you kind of make more sense in a certain scene, like whatever that scene might be. If you're a jam band or if you're a pop punk band or a emo band or a hardcore band. But yeah, like you said, we kind of just like, we like it all. So we just make it all. When we hear something we like, we kind of just go down that route.
I like that answer. I think that's important. I love the title, like, hopefully Pitchfork doesn't hear this. Like, that's very satirical comment on Pitchfork and that you made like to market it. I had to like really see if it was real or not, because it looked so realistic, because like Pitchfork has, you know, some reviews that are like that where they just give a terrible rating and people are like, what? And you know, you're not the first artist to comment on that. Like Halsey said they should like burn the Pitchfork basements that they come out of, and like Phineas just said, like their review about like the new Billie Eilish record was bad. Was this something that you just did like comically, or do you actually think like sometimes, especially music magazines or music sites, kind of, I guess like their opinions are, might just be not an opinion but for like a grab and a view?
Right, I know what you mean.
We kind of might have named it that as a joke, but not like really joking. Like I think we were really hopeful that they didn't hear it so they didn't bash it. I think that was kind of the energy.
Yeah, for sure. We just like are like criminally unserious at times, so like we just like to make music for fun sometimes, and like thinking about somebody sitting there and being critical of it is just kind of like a weird vibe when you're making something, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Thinking about someone's reaction, or not even just a fan of music, but like somebody who calls themselves a critic, like that's such a weird, it's just a weird thing to be, the more I think about it.
Yeah, no, yeah. I get what you mean. I've done a lot of like music reviews too, and even if I don't call myself a critic, I just call it like a reviewer, and almost everything that I listen to is like, I put it in a positive light, even if I'm not like 100% a fan of it. I'm not like, oh, this person sucks, you know what I mean? I feel like that's kind of heartless.
I say that, but at the same time I'll sit here and be like, oh, that sucks, I hate that song. So who knows, I'm probably just being a hypocrite.
Hey, that's okay. And you talk about your music, especially on this record, like has very unserious moments because you're kind of doing it for fun. You have, you know, playing nine holes of golf with an old man, the song Manager Haircut, naming those things, and then adding like those serious moments, like you have like Drowning and then Mental Karate, you know, talking about anxiety and the feelings of that, and even how America has guns for sale at Walmart. Like, you're making literal comments on things that you're seeing in society and stuff. Do you have like a conscious effort to have this balance, or is this just how it happens?
Wow, that's a really good question.
I don't know. I mean, maybe this album it was towards the end, but usually when we're making a song, we're kind of just making it in its own little world, and if it survives the test of time, then it kind of finds its job in an album.
Yeah,
for sure.
So luckily we have
and a lot there's always work. Like, I think that there's the fact that there's both serious moments and, I don't know, observational moments in terms of like what we see in society, but then there's also just like fun moments is just kind of a product of life in general. Like, sometimes things aren't serious and you're just having a good time, and other times you're like, what's going on in general? So yeah, it's just a product of life in general, I think.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And do you think it's important to you guys to have fun in music? Because at least from my perspective, artists I think are losing touch with that fun side and focusing more on like just trying to churn out something so people will like it. So do you think that that's like a conscious thing, you guys are trying to continue to have fun with it and be creative with that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 100% of whatever emotion, whether it's fun, dread, whatever it is, like if it's going to be one thing, I guess with us, it's going to be 100% that. So when there is fun, it's definitely like all the way. But yeah, it is generally speaking really fun to be in a band. So when you're doing things that are fun while it's fun, it tends to be even more fun. Yeah,
for sure.
That makes sense. And you just released the Ugly Crying With My Dog music video. And that also showcases you're taking, you know, a serious song that's talking about lyrics like, where do I go when I die, and having PTSD, and contrasting that with a pretty chill and like vibey, you know, you could tell you guys are having fun with that video. So what was it like making that video? And I guess why a video for that song in particular?
That's a good question. That one in particular, I think it's because the label asked us to do one for that one. But I think we have another actual video we made that day as well too that it will be out at some point. But yeah I mean to get back to your question, I mean I don't know how you feel about it, Pat.
I guess the difference in vibe between song and video was kind of just because the video was like a DIY situation where like we just, the label picked it as a single and we really liked the song too, but we didn't have like a big budget for it, so we were going to New York to see our friend and he had a camera, and instead of making the video like super topical and like serious, it just seemed like, why not just have a day in life and film it and sing the song? So it's just like, I don't think it was any type of like super serious creative decision, but yeah, at the same time it was kind of just a product of life happening, and I like it like that sometimes instead of it being like a full budget music video.
Yeah, it's definitely enjoyable to watch, and I think it fits with the song itself because, you know, you have the serious lyrics but it's not a serious tone. It's, you know, the instrumentation and all that is lighthearted, you know, you have lighthearted guitars and things like that, so it makes a lot of sense.
Exactly
that way. And I guess I want to ask more about the imagery surrounding Gangster of Love, especially the cow imagery, because I love cows, and I love, like, you know, the cover, I don't really, the bottoms, I guess you could say, that are cow prints, and then the hippie cow merch that you guys released. What?
Yeah.
Why the cow, I guess?
It's really hard to say. A lot of times with our visual art that comes attached with albums or merch or anything, it's just like images or icons that move us in some way. And like, I feel like more times than not, we can't put our finger exactly on why. Same with like the titles for our albums. Like Gangster of Love isn't one of our lyrics or anything. It's just like, it's another lyric from another song that we couldn't quite put our finger on why it was so moving, but it just was like a direction we wanted to go. And same with the Highland cows. I just like remember seeing them and just being amazed at like the beauty of them, I guess. And I don't know, all of a sudden it just felt like something we could build around, I guess, highlighting their beauty and putting it into our work.
That makes a lot of sense. And I remember when you gave a similar answer when I interviewed you guys a couple years ago for Sup, and I was asking about the imagery. And so it seems that has kind of still been kind of on brand for you to just kind of say, hey, we like this, here it is, not like huge big meaning behind it. And speaking of that interview that I did ask about your transition, ability to transition between one of you singing into the next very seamlessly, and Matt, you actually commented on how that style may not be final, and here we are with that happening a lot on this album. Are there any stylistic differences between your last release Sup to now, or is there anything you guys feel you've gotten better at as you keep creating new music together?
I think between the two, this one was probably definitely more collaborative on like a foundation level, as opposed to either of us bringing kind of full concrete ideas. So with that, kind of opened up more doors, just, or things that would maybe happen in songs that wouldn't have if there wasn't two minds.